Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Man. Like right off the top, you're going to yawn right in my face.
Yeah.
Like right in my face, I hit record and you yawn. How do you think that makes me feel?
Like really, like we're intimate friends.
Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. I had so many lickety splits joke to throw in, and I just welcome to the podcast. Hi, Tony Award winner Daisy Egan.
Hi, Ellen Marsh. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Well, we started off the new year by tell them what you did to me just now.
I thought we were keeping that secret. We finger blasted.
No, not that part.
Oh, the yawning?
No.
God, I've done so many things to you.
In a very short amount of time. No, you said, are you ready to record? And yeah. I said, yes, but my cat is on my lap.
Yeah.
Like, what am I supposed to do? When you have a cat, you're done. You're stuck there. There's nowhere you can go. What are you going to do? Disrupt the cat?
Right.
And that's what you made me do. So I had to move my cat to come and record.
Wow. Now that you put it that way, like, I would file an HR complaint with Grab Bag.
I have filed a couple. Nobody seems to be returning my calls and emails over there at Grab Bag. I don't know what they're doing.
Oh my God. How is your Jesus's birthday?
Jesus is risen. Yeah.
No, that's a different holiday.
It's a different holiday. Jesus is our savior.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Christmas was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. I love Christmas. It didn't feel super Christmassy this year. I feel like because I was working a lot or in the pangs of a deep depression. I'm not sure. It's always just more fun for kids.
That is true.
Did you like the ornament that I sent you?
The D's Nuts ornament? No, that was a keychain. Oh, yeah. It was great. I love my fuck earring.
It was peanuts with the word D's on them. Apparently, I think that's way funnier. I saw it and I was thinking of Monty's joke with D's Nuts.
Yeah, I love that. Did you like the gift that I sent you?
Yes. Daisy sent me something from my silly bathroom. She sent me a pinup girl tissue box because I have a silly bathroom.
Yeah.
I opened it and I knew it was for me because of the label.
Right.
But I also knew that you're the only one with a true appreciation of my silly bathroom.
Yeah. Your silly bathroom is like hashtag goals for me.
Did you have a good Christmas? We took a week off, which was new.
Uh-huh. Actually, I will tell you that I have gotten so much into the swing of working so much that like a week off made me feel a little bit insane.
Right?
Yeah. And by the last few days, I was like, okay, I am done with this. So I'm happy to be back working.
Did you make any cool art or anything?
I did, actually. I worked on my chandelier, which I'm, you know. And I made a couple of really cool, well, one in particular, cool paintings. And what else?
Yeah, hold that S just so I can edit that S down.
You're welcome. You know, we pulled on Christmas, we pulled the old Christmas story, like, oh, that's all the gifts trick.
Right.
And I actually even forgot that we had the last gift hidden in the closet. It was a Quest VR headset for Monty.
Who?
I have a son. I don't know if you He's only 10 and a half, so it's not, he hasn't been around that long.
Oh.
But his name is Monty.
What is it?
Monty. Monty.
Like, is that short for Monteleone?
Yes.
Okay.
It's short for Monte Cristo, because that's my favorite sandwich.
Well, I'm glad you had a good holiday. I missed you. I actually legitimately missed looking at your face, but I'm glad you had a good holiday and we both deserved a little rest. Thanks. Grab bag. Whatever. Well, we're back, everyone. And I am really excited about this episode. And Daisy doesn't know why I'm excited about this episode. Are you ready to meet the parents? Because you better be, because that's what we're doing. Season 1, Episode 7 is entitled Meet the Parents.
Very creative.
Before I jump in, do you like your in-laws?
Oh, they're dead.
Great. Next yeah. question.
But my first husband's in-laws, his dad was an Episcopalian preacher, and his mom is now an Episcopalian preacher. When we were married, women weren't allowed in the priesthood, mm-hmm. and now they are. And they considered themselves quite, I don't know if they would say liberal, but they were Democrats. But they were from Alabama, so they were Deep South Democrat, mm-hmm. which I don't even know what that is exactly. I think that's the kind.
I was waiting for you to tell me.
I don't, you know, she was telling me a story once about how they ran into a black man at the grocery store who had the same last name as them. And they all thought, oh, isn't that funny? And I was like, no, it just means that your family owned his family at some point.
Okay.
Like, that's not funny, really, you know?
Right.
Like, I wouldn't classify that under funny.
I don't think anyone would classify this podcast as funny right now either.
No.
We're 19 days until the wedding. Mark is talking to the camera, basically pontificating about how superficial society is. And he says that Jessica is letting a lot of external stuff affect their love. Daisy, this is getting really difficult to watch.
Yep.
Every red flag has been thrown in this man's face. He is taking them, using them as hankies to wipe his sweaty brow. To watch someone voluntarily get played over and over again is
painful.
Great television.
Yeah. He, when we left them, they had just had that fight, Mark and Jessica. Not fight. She was wasted.
She was blackout.
Oh, God. And she said, you know, Barnett is sassy. Like, I would fuck him. I would fuck him hard. Something like that. And he was like, how very dare you, madam? And went and slept on the couch. So we sort of picked it up from there. And instead of being like, I can't fucking believe this woman, his response was like, you know, she's just letting some outside pressures get to her. And I was like, honey, sweetheart, baby.
Honestly, I can't help you if you don't want to help yourself, Mark.
No.
She basically wakes up and she's like, wow, I was really drunk. I didn't mean what I said.
Yeah, she doesn't say I'm sorry.
No.
She says, my bad.
Babe, you did mean every word you said. You told your fiance that you want to ride another man's baloney pony. And not just any man, the man you thought you were going to marry until you took the runner-up over there.
Yeah.
You said that because you were drunk, because you felt free to say it, because you meant it.
Right. In confessional, she tells us, I overstepped my bounds and I overdrank. Overdrank? Who says overdrank?
I don't even know if that's a word. Someone tell us.
And she doesn't apologize. She says, that was my bad. Like, girl, that's not, the two of you need to sit down and have a popsicle.
He's so understanding.
I know.
How is he so understanding? How is he so understanding?
I was about to say, like, maybe she has like a magical pussy, but he doesn't even know that yet. So it is baffling.
And he's like, I'm not going to hold it against her. If she was in her right mind, that wouldn't have happened. I mean, maybe she might not have said it out loud.
Yeah.
She thinks it because she said it. And she's like, thank you for being here in the morning.
Ugh.
I don't know what to say about Mark. It's truly getting uncomfortable watching somebody actively work against his best interests.
It is. It's at the point now where you're just like, bro, you're on your own. Like, I don't know what to say anymore to you. So then we cut to Gigi and Damien. And of course, when we left them, they were having a screaming fight in front of everybody at the party, which she apparently thinks is just another Tuesday.
Yeah. She was like banging on the walls, and now it's the next morning and she's clomping around the house like Alex in her Herman Munster shoes. Do you get that reference? You get that reference?
No, but the Herman Munster thing made me laugh hysterically. Man.
That's classic Roni.
Roni?
Daisy, I don't need this shit right now.
Are you canceling the podcast?
It's Real Housewives of New York, Daisy.
Oh, sweetheart. I don't watch that, show.
Well, guess what's going to happen when we run out of Love is Blind episodes? You just committed.
Oh, boy.
That's classic Roni.
Oh.
Alex walking around and then Countess Della Sepsis
came after me in your Herman Munster shoes.
They're Louis Vuitton shoes.
Even whatever. Louis Vuitton makes mistakes.
That's what we're going to do. Do not fret. Shut the fuck up, Nick Lachey. Will soon turn into shut up, Countess Luann de Lesseps. I can't wait.
Yeah, well, I wrote she's running around in the kitchen. So same idea. Apparently, she's making a very elaborate avocado toast. And he's texting in bed. And she's like, babe, come hang out with me in the kitchen. And then they just start having another fight.
He's in bed and he says he needs a minute and she doesn't want to leave the house with weirdness, which I agree with.
Sure.
Going on with your day, you shouldn't go to bed mad. And then she says,
I come from a loud family. We fight a lot. When we fight, we yell. We all yell. So it's normal. It's not normal to Damien. He doesn't yell. Okay, I won't yell at you. But when I'm at my wit's end, everything immediately becomes self-sabotage. Partly because I just didn't know how to communicate things that were really bothering me.
This is all very weird.
Mm-hmm.
Do you come from a yelling family?
No, I don't. No, not really. We kind of kept everything in and then it would explode. So we would sort of have these like explosions every few years
right.
or so. But there wasn't like big yelly fights in my house growing up.
So I'm Italian and like our base level is a yell.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine like 30 of me.
I'm exhausted.
I'm a lot, you know, I've been told.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
I get it. Okay. Walk with me on this journey. So your emotion increases. We don't have the ability to say exactly what we're feeling. And then with that escalating emotion, your voice can yell. But here's the thing I noticed, because yelling isn't good, but couples have to have matching conflict styles.
Yeah.
You at least have to meet them in the middle, because yelling is 100% a trauma response.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it's environmental. And it can be cultural. People come to my family and they're like, why are you all yelling? We're like, we're literally talking about the weather and people's sauce recipes.
How are we supposed to talk?
Right. That being said, hitting Damien like that, where it's clear that that's just not his vibe, you're just not reading the room.
No, I don't think that Gigi reads any room ever.
That's good...
I don't think she's a room reader by any stretch.
Are you a room reader? I'm not, actually.
No. Yeah. I have never read a room. And also, she doesn't give him a minute. I mean, look, they don't know each other. It's a very new relationship. I think down the line, like, if this sort of thing had happened to me and Kurt, and one of us had to go, I think there would be a, like, I love you. I'm sorry. Let's talk about this later. But, like, I love you. So that you're not leaving the house. God forbid something happens. They're not able to do that because they've known each other for half a second.
Right.
But they need to be having this conversation.
They really do, for sure.
This is not good. She sort of randomly says, you know how you say that this is the best sex that you've ever had in your life? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, well, have you ever noticed that I have never returned the compliment? Jesus Christ.
The
lady.
Jugular.
Ay, ay, ay.
We're on like day 10 and you went for the bad sex?
Yeah, this woman knows the things to say.
She is so angry, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
When you have an absence of communication or understanding, that's when the anger enters stage right. And then you say things you cannot take back.
Yeah.
Remember, this whole conversation, she is still in the kitchen. He is still in the bedroom.
Yeah. And it's not even like they can see each other. I mean, they could if she moved or, you know, whatever, but like they cannot see each
other. No. Ouch. all I thought was ouch. Yeah. And then you see his wheels turning and he's like, okay, I said that one time.
Yeah.
And then her point is that she always initiates sex.
Yeah, but he brings it up. He says, have you ever noticed that I never initiate the sex? It's always you. And she goes, yes, thank you. Like screaming at him. I'm like, where are we right now? And then she says, I've lost my butterflies and I'm trying to get them back. And she seems in that moment, I'm like, oh, you're crazy.
I don't like calling women crazy. She's crazy. The roller coaster, it's like El Toro.
Yeah.
Because El Toro, it's not like King Ka where you can see it all. El Toro comes at you with like a, that's why it's the best roller coaster at Six Flags, even though it doesn't go upside down. Because it doesn't look like it's going to go as fast as it does. And it doesn't look like it's going to be as good as it actually is. She is sheets to the wind. She talks about how she likes to fight and have makeup sex.
Yeah.
And Damien is very level-headed. He really is. And he is the type of person that would balance somebody who was hinged.
Yes.
Somebody who is the fun kind of crazy, like you and I. We're the fun crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what my husband says all the time.
You guys would actually be a good balance if you weren't so fucking out to lunch.
Yeah. It's one thing to be like at a 10. She's at a 10 plus psychological problem.
She's at a 10C.24. She's at a number that doesn't make any sense, goes into the alphabet system, goes off the grid. Here's the thing. This is actually what I just realized in this episode. She is wildly immature.
Yes.
Sometimes she sounds like a fucking five-year-old.
Yeah, she does this thing where she sort of goes like this when she talks.
She's just not ready. She's just not ready to be an adult. And that's okay. There is no litmus for when you should get married and when you should settle down. It should be when you're fucking ready, if you're 23 or 40.
Yeah.
She is just a child. And I'm like, oh, you just aren't fully formed yet. It's not done cooking. Yeah.
I have to say, as wackadoodle ding dong as she is, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but she reminds me of me in my early 20s.
Absolutely.
Just a mess. And also with my ex-husband, just like we were so ill-matched. He had no temper at all. And I just felt like I was talking to a wall most of the time. And it drove me insane. And I would go from 0 to 100. And I watch her and I'm like, oh boy, that's...
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe that means that there's hope.
It's just wild. I just wrote in my notes, she's just immature.
Yeah. I wrote she seems psychotic, but I think immature is probably a nicer.
Yeah. And I also wrote, why are you in different rooms?
Yeah. Well, and then he says, it seems like it's easier to fight and talk from another room because it's like they're in the pod.
That's it.
Yeah. So then she's like, oh, yeah, it is like the pods. And she comes and runs in and like jumps on the bed. And then he throws her down and gets on top of her. And he's like, I can be passionate. I can be. What does he say?
He says, I can be passionate as fuck. I was like, actually, that's kind of
hot. Well, yeah.
Let's go meet the parents.
Yes, let's.
I want to say, after finishing this episode, I feel like there should be like a checklist or a bingo card. We should have rented a convention hall and gotten all the parents together or something so they could all ask the same questions. Mm-hmm. How did you fall in love so fast? Oh my God, it was crazy. You don't get it till you're in it. How did you know my son or daughter was the right one? Oh my God, the energy, the vibes, the laughter, the energy, the vibes, the energy, the vibes. And when your father and I were dating, it's all so much of the same that I was like, we could have knocked this out in a group effort.
Yes. Yeah, you could get them all together at like the Hilton luncheon room and play just a PowerPoint.
Yeah, gotten them a couple of ham and cheeses.
Yeah, here's what you're going to ask and here's what they're going to answer and here's going to be your follow-up and now we've done it. So we're off to meet Amber's family. She tells Barnett that he sets a new bar.
Which then makes me want a spinoff show of all of the moldy sponges that Amber has dated in her life. Where are those guys?
Boy.
I want to talk.
Yeah, that show should be called Amber's Low Bar.
If Barnett is the new bar for men in her life, I want to be her friend because I want to take it to the shit show.
That's entertainment.
Barnett wants to impress the parents, which is funny because he hasn't spent much time impressing anyone.
No.
Definitely not you or I.
No, I'm not impressed. But, you know, Amber says that her mom is going to be so thrilled she's getting married. She just can't wait to get Amber hitched up. Barnett is nervous, which is completely understandable. They pull up to the house and Barnett tells us in confession that her mom's house is in a rougher part of the city, which I looked, you know, I was watching and I was like, I don't know where you're from, but that's...
She lives in the suburbs.
Yeah, that looks like the suburbs.
I was like, are you trying to poor shame her? She looks perfectly middle class.
Yeah. I mean, I could understand like bringing somebody to my neighborhood for the first time and being like, it used to be nicer, I'm sure. Like, I get it. The suburbs are sort of like, they've had their day, but come on.
It was a weird statement, for sure.
I think in that moment, he's realizing how different their upbringings were, which I think is a very, very helpful to know that information just in general. So we meet Amber's niece and some dude who never gets introduced, does he?
Nope, just the kid wrangler on set or something.
Yeah, and we meet her mom, Vicky. Vicky says, Amber, Lynn, and I, Ellen... Is every single woman from the South, is her middle name Lynn?
Yeah, it's a requisite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, right, of course her middle name is Lynn. Amber Lynn. Amber Lynn, you get over here right
Amber
now.
Lynn.
Amber Lynn, you better get married.
I don't want to take care of you. And Amber immediately shows her the ring and says, this is Matt. Who's Matt?
I know. I had to say, I was like, what? And then I remembered, like, years ago when he was holding that jar of moonshine in the pods. I don't know if that was when the conversation was, but he was like, oh, yeah, I go by Barnett. It's not my name. But we had literally never heard his name until this moment.
I did not. Who? What is? Yeah. I had no idea.
None. What would you have thought his first name was?
Towhead.
Correct.
Yeah.
Fisher-Price, little person.
I mean, I guess if his name wasn't Barnett, I would think he'd be like a Bradley.
Ugh, yeah, yeah. No offense. I have a friend named Bradley and he's lovely, but yeah.
Obviously with an L-E-I-G-H.
E-I-G-H.
Yeah, obviously.
I was struck that they did not go inside and they were having this conversation outside, but then later the same thing happened somewhere else. So I don't know if that was just like a choice, but I was like, what's happening in that house that they are not walking in there?
Meth lab. We meet stepdad Pat. Immediately Mama Vicky starts crying, tears of joy that Amber's off her fucking hands.
Uh-huh.
In a blink of an eye, she looks at Barnett and she lays down some mama bear piss.
Mm-hmm.
And she is like, that is my baby. Are you stable? Do you work? I get it, Mama Vicky.
Yeah, and then his response is, I'm financially stable. I don't know about mentally. And she goes, well, you're in the right family. I was like, wow. Okay, it's going well.
Also, did we know that Amber's dad died when she was 5?
I don't think so.
Because that told me a lot as well, and like her army history. And so Mama Vicky's like, why are you marrying my daughter? And he was like, tits,
yeah.
Her hot ass, her tits, shit. How she makes me feel
right.
With her tits yeah. On me. What was the question? Fuck.
Tight little pussy. Yeah, he doesn't say anything about her. He really only says how she makes him feel.
Mm, good catch, Daisy. Good catch.
That he can be himself around her, but there's nothing about her specifically. You know, she's funny or she's whatever. It's just, I like how she makes me feel. Me, 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 me.
Me, me, me. I, me, me, I.
Yeah, I love that song.
So they kind of explain the experiment to Mama Vicky, which again, being the first season, these parents have no idea. Mm-hmm. They can't turn on Netflix and be like, where the hell did my kids go?
Yeah.
And now she's starting to loosen up a little bit, put the bear claws away for a minute.
For a minute.
Put yeah. A pin in that.
Uh-huh. So we cut back to Gigi and Damien. At this point, we haven't seen any other. We've seen just these three couples. Lauren and Cameron are nowhere to be found.
Yeah, where are they?
I don't know. I think at the end of the episode, I was like, I think they just, there's no conflict.
Right.
They're in the garage. She's sitting in the car and he's on the phone, like outside of the car. And his parents are basically apparently canceling very last minute on meeting Gigi. And so he goes into the car and tells her, and she immediately turns it into a fight with him.
Oh.
It's his fault. He didn't say the right things to them. He didn't set it up properly. He didn't do this. He didn't do that. That's where I was like, oh God, she really reminds me of me in my 20s. Just like, I don't want to be with this person, so I'm going to pick a fight constantly. Yeah.
It was kind of sad, actually.
Yeah.
You know, I fucking hate that for him. And we don't know what was on the other side of the conversation. They were like, how did you miss so much work? Remember, he was stressing out about work.
Yes.
Who knows? The parents could have been like, how can you do this? You have a great... We don't know what the parents were saying.
No.
Here's my question. So then Gigi says, you could have handled it differently, blah, blah. And then she says to the camera, they were like, don't marry some whore off a reality TV show. Is that her coming to a conclusion? Or do we think that's what the parents really said?
I had the same exact question. I was like, is that Gigi being overly dramatic and taking something fairly innocuous and turning it into something that it wasn't? Or was that an actual quote? I doubt that Damien would have come back to her and been like, my mom said, why are you going and marrying a whore off reality TV?
Agree.
It's got to be that he said, like, you met someone on a reality TV show and she turned it into... don't marry a whore off of reality TV.
I once wrote this sketch about two people in therapy. And the sketch was like, the therapist would say like, okay, can you communicate to him what you're feeling? And partner one is like, well, I just feel like sometimes I'll say things and you don't hear me. And the other person's like, so you think I'm stupid and ugly and you hate the way I cook?
Yeah, exactly.
And the therapist is like, no, that's not what they said.
That's not what I heard.
Yeah. And like everything just turned. I feel like you're right. I feel like they were like, we just don't support this. We feel like it's weird. And she's like, oh, so I'm a whore.
Right.
I'm a whore.
Exactly. And who knows? It also could have just been like, you know what? Your father has explosive diarrhea. He's been up all night. Today, we just can't do this.
And so like, I turn his stomach. So I turn his stomach. So he's right. So grossed out by me that he has the shits. Great.
So you're saying I may, just the idea of me makes him sick. Okay.
So just thinking about, so he hates Venezuelans because our food is really spicy. This is all racist. And she starts yelling and he really calmly says, please don't yell at me.
And then she does the really passive aggressive thing where she's like, oh, okay. You don't want me to yell at you? Okay, fine. I think it's really important for us to meet each other's parents. And I think that you didn't set it up correctly. And I'm really angry. I'm going to put similar mascara on. Hold on. It's not quite enough mascara. A little bit more.
Also, the continuity of her makeup is all over the place. You guys should have spent less time worrying about the wine glasses and more time worrying about Giannina's makeup because you guys are fucking all over the place.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
So then she tells us in confessional that she doesn't want to have to tell her partner how to love her or how to touch her. I'm like, girl, I mean, good luck.
Yeah, she's like, I don't want to teach someone. Actually, no, that's very fair. Everyone wants something different. Everyone needs something different. I'm sure Damien knows how to pay attention. And she's like, it's the first time I'm going to meet them at the wedding. And he's like, maybe. My thought was like, are they coming to the wedding?
I know, honestly. That's the correct question.
And she's like, I fell in love with Damien in the pod. Did you? I don't know.
Yeah, he asked her in the previous scene, are you not in love with me anymore? And I was like, bro, anymore? Like, I think the end of that sentence is, are you not in love with me? Question mark. That's it.
These two are a three dater.
Yes.
It was like, you know, that date, you have a really hot first date and you're like, whoa, our chemistry was off the charts. And then the second date, things are like wobbly, you know, like after you get off a people walker. And the third one, you're like, this isn't going to work. And then you call it a day.
Yeah.
They are still just fucking ramming their head against that wall over and over again.
Yeah. And who knows how much of it is like she wants to be on TV. I mean, just who knows? We go to the couple that everyone loves to forget, Kelly and Kenny.
We say this every week, but every single fucking time. Mm-hmm.
Who's that? Oh, right.
Oh,
them. Right. They're going to meet Kelly's parents. And then we find out that they're actually introducing their families to each other, which is huge, I thought. Like, that's... I mean, it makes sense. They're getting married. They might as well do that. But like also to be meeting the partners for the first time, that's a lot. Kelly thinks her parents are going to like him. We meet the parents and her parents are like, you know, we got married really fast too. Like we met in November, we were engaged by December and we were married by August.
That doesn't sound like fun. So we have Mama Liz and Sister Ashley, who does not say a fucking word. No. Mama Liz is running the show and she says, what made you connect? And they go back to that fucking stupid children's book.
Oh my God.
Are you the only two people on the planet who read I Love You Forever? Did you notice Kelly's dad shooting daggers?
Oh, no.
I feel like all the dads are not into this. Like, they had a plan. He was going hunting and fishing and scooping. She was like, you can't, Cal. We got the guy and the girl coming over. And he's like, dang it.
Oh, dang it.
And I'm not saying this because this man has a ponytail. I am saying this because I believe it. This man has body parts in his basement.
Ooh.
Someone needs to check that man's basement.
Buried under he's the creepy. Cement or in a refrigerator?
No, probably in like a bucket. Yeah, that's why I'm saying. He looks like he wants to crush Kenny's head with his bare hands. Why are you so mad? Forget about this whole interaction in 30 seconds, sir. I suggest you do the same.
Honestly, don't get too invested, my man.
So Mama Liz, she's a talker. She is a chatty Kathy, and she has her, like, little confessional. She's, like, talking about them, and she has, like, a Maltese on her lap while she's doing the confessional. And I just imagine Mama Liz being like, I couldn't possibly do this interview without Snuggles on my lap. It's Snuggles or no interview. Okay. So you guys decide, are you allergic? Because Snuggles stays.
Get a Zyrtec
or
get out.
I don't need this. She like takes off her mic. They're like, no, Mama Liz, Snuggles can stay. So she's like, okay, fine. Because I felt like you guys, like, why does she had to have her dog on her lap. She's like, I couldn't possibly.
What am I supposed to do? He's here. What do you want? It's like the cat on your lap.
See, this is what happens. And then you work in toxic work environments and people make you move your animals.
Listen.
My point is made. Thank you. That all came full
circle.
You need
to get one of those sweatshirts so you can carry your cat around in it.
I feel like she was originally from New York.
Oh, I thought she was from Jersey.
Or Jersey. Yeah. He's like, I just want him to be good to her.
Listen, you're going to get married. It's beautiful. Your father and I, we got married really fast. Look at us. We're still married. We do the wild thing every night. He's got some bodies in the basement. It's not a big deal. We love each other.
Well, look at us. Look at us. Lap of luxury. Lap of luxury I live in. Look at the life he's
giving.
Look,
I got a Maltese. You got a Maltese? I got a Maltese. So Kenny's parents come by, and it turns out that his parents also got married very quickly. These parents seem very supportive.
You know, Mama Liz is like, he is delightful. Mm-hmm. What a breath of fresh air this guy is. What a look up.
He's he looks like a Ken doll. I was like,
He looks like a Ken doll.
What Ken dolls did you play with?
He looks like a Ken doll. Then Papa Jeff, Kenny's parents, tell the story about when him and Mama Marcia met at a pool. Now, Mama Marcia was there with her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked for hours. Mm-hmm. And I was like, cool, homewrecker. Then they dated 3 months and they got married. What was happening in the 80s?
Honestly.
Like, you're just meeting and fucking and marrying? Like, that's how it all goes?
You know, it was a decade of excess. And I think everybody was just like, neon, cocaine, shoulder pads, get married as fast as possible.
Just do it. They talk about how families need to meet and connect. And I do agree.
Yes.
You could not have found two more opposite people than my ex-mother-in-law and my mother. Like sardines and
peeps, marshmallow peeps.
Ketchup.
Ketchup. Interesting. No, ketchup and sardines are both savory.
But do they go together?
No. If I'm looking for opposites, I'm going to say like a sardine, like a salty.
And chocolate sauce.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. I'd say it again. My mother and my ex-mother-in-law, they're like sardines and hot chocolate sauce. Hot fudge.
Hot chocolate sauce.
If you look at a picture of my wedding, my mom is in this like gorgeous, just simple champagne dress. Here, I'll show it to you. This is a visual. See my mom?
Yes. Now I can see. Oh, how cute. Whoa. And a fascinator, too.
She is English, but yeah, look at that.
She's like, I'm going to wear grape and fuchsia and a fascinator and a giant diamond swan. Music note, sperm.
My colors were yellow and sage green with flecks of like champagne and burnt orange. Not that she needed to match my wedding.
Wow.
Have you ever seen two more opposite people?
No.
Okay, sorry. Kenny and Kelly's family, they're thick as thieves. They're best friends. They're getting matching tattoos and matching nipple rings. They're in love and everything is great there.
Yeah. They're like, who's going to bring the wine? Ha, 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 ha. So now we go to Jessica and Mark. They're about to go meet Mark's parents. Dun, dun, dun. This is the scary, scary, scary mom that Jessica's been terrified about meeting.
The mother that Jessica will never live up to.
Right. And immediately in confessional, she's like, age, 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 age. The age difference, the age difference, the age difference. She says, if I'm his mom meeting me, I'm not happy. And I was like, girl, same, but not for the reason that you think.
And she's like, hi, my name is Jessica. I'm 34. That's 3-4. That's 10 years older than 2-4, 24, which your son Marcus. I'm 10 years older. And Mama Rosa and Papa Ramiro. First of all, Papa Ramiro isn't impressed by anything.
Nothing.
He is silent.
Yeah.
Much like Sister Ashley. You know, Mama Rosa, of course, asks about the process because none of these people know it. And Jessica explains it with a lot of superfluous facial expressions.
I was like, that is the most confusing way to explain what the process. I was like, what show are you on?
And also, why is she acting like she's on Days of Our Lives? She's like, and then? What is happening with your face, ma'am? Did your Botox just wear off?
I feel like she's doing that thing where she's talking to somebody where English is their second language. And so she's talking
right.
to them a little bit like they're
you're right.
stupid.
Yes, you're like absolutely her, right. I didn't
she
get that,
seemed,
yeah.
She seemed
pandering.
Condescending.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. She's like, yeah, because we both like love Chicago. Oh my God, stop. You love Chicago? We're the same person. Wait, you're the same people, but last episode you were totally different. I'm fine with either answer.
Pick.
Just stick to one because now we've flip-flopped 22 times.
Mm-hmm.
Are you the same person? And then Jessica's like, he speaks very highly of you.
Very, very, very highly of you.
Actually, I made a call to Netflix and I got some of the deleted footage of that scene because I know some people. They wouldn't send me the video to show you, but like I watched it and I can transcribe it to you if you
Great.
Want me to.
Yeah, yeah.
So the rest of that, when he talks so much about you, actually, he talks about you incessantly and I will never live up to his expectation. You raised a complete and total mama's boy and I'm not really attracted to him, but I feel like I have to be here because now I'm in too deep, but he's really nice, so I guess you did that right. Cool, love the Spanish rice.
I'm surprised they cut that. That would have made for some drama.
Yeah, I think they didn't want to cut it, but there was like an audio glitch.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's what they told me.
Also, speaking of the Spanish rice, it's like she looks down at the plate and she's like, yummy.
Yummy. Here's the thing. Jessica is really banking, to me, it seems, on this age difference
yes.
thing being the clincher. This is going to be the thing that his parents are like, no way. But much to her surprise, Mama Rosa says,
well, he told me, I met this girl, her name is Jessica. She's a little bit older than me.
And so at this point, it seems like Jessica is like, oh, my God, I'm going to be off the hook. This woman is going to call the kibosh on this whole thing. I'm going to get out of here. But then Mama Rosa continues and says,
I thought, oh, that's great, because a lot of the girls his age feel a little bit crazy.
Mama Rosa's in.
Yeah, I wrote, his mom does not care, and Jessica is disappointed.
She's like, fuck, 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 fuck. She goes into emergency mode. She's like, oh my God, but like my 20s were so fun. Why would you want to give up your 20s? You don't want to miss your 20s. I'm stealing his youth away. I'm stealing his soul. I have no soul. My God, get me out of this house.
I mean, you could just see it all happen.
And Mama Rosa says point blank, age doesn't matter. And Jessica's face cracks. Did you see her face when she said it was like a little porcelain doll at a flea market that a child drops on the ground and shatters? Yeah. She is fucked. She's cornered.
Yeah, you can tell it's that moment of like where your whole body sort of like gets hot and tingles for like a half a second. She's terrified. And then in confessional, she admits, she's like, maybe all of the age stuff is just in my head because literally no one's brought it up. Nobody has a problem with it except for me. It's going to be interesting to see what she picks next to use as the thing to get out of this. But she tells us that Mark doesn't care, and, you know, about the age thing, which we fucking know. And she says that they haven't really experienced it yet. Like, nobody's brought it up yet, but when they do, oh, it's going to happen. No one has challenged us yet, but it will happen.
Yeah.
Girl, no, it won't. And if it does, who fucking cares?
Who fucking cares? That is the bottom line. That should be everybody's life motto. Who fucking cares?
If who cares?
You don't care, because you do care. You right. care because you don't want to see his pecker. That's why you don't care. By the way, Papa Romero still hasn't said a word.
He has
nothing to say. He's like, I'm not going to add to this conversation, so I'm staying silent. We should all take a cue from Papa Romero every once in a while.
Absolutely.
Mama Rosa is so sweet. She's like, lovely. This is your home. We're a family. She's just a love. I was like, why were you terrified of this clearly loving woman who loves her son, wants her son to be happy, and if happiness is a 34-year-old woman with a fancy for the red wine, so be it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, she definitely had the poops after this, not because of the food.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
With a $5 meal deal with new McValue. You pick a McDouble or a McChicken, then get a small fry, a small drink, and a four-piece McNuggets. That's a lot of McDonald's for not a lot of money.
Prices and participation may vary. McDouble meal, $6 in some markets for a limited time only.
So then it's 18 days till the wedding.
I just wrote, are Lauren and Cameron here? I wrote that in my notes.
Yeah, I know. Very strange. 18 days till the wedding. Damien is meeting Giannina's parents.
Giannina's making arepas.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know I lived in Jersey City and I went to this one place that I used to love and I ordered an arepa and I said, can I have an arepa? And she went, a what? And I said, I don't. And I like looked at the menu and I was like, an arepa? And she's like, you mean an arepa?
Okay.
Yes, that is what I want. Yeah.
That's what I meant.
Giannina's parents are coming to the apartment. Side note that is good information to have. They're from Florida. That's all the information I wanted to
have. Oh, right. They're coming from Florida. That's right.
And they show up with suitcases. Are they staying with them? Did Netflix not spring for a Holiday Inn Express or something?
And also, are they staying for 3 weeks before this wedding happens?
Ugh. They come with a lot of baggage and also suitcases. Milady is her mom, which, all remember, right. was her middle name, yes. Milady. Uh-huh. And then I think I figured this out, but I only figured it out after. Giovanni is her dad. And then there was that other guy, Oscar.
Oscar, that's her stepdad.
Okay, yes. I wasn't sure.
I was a little confused too, but I think she said that this is my stepdad. And I must have missed that the other guy was the dad. And then partway through the scene, I was like, is that her husband and her ex-husband? If that's the case, then Giannina says something pretty salty later on. But Oscar asks Damien why he thinks he's ready to get married. And Damien, you know, Damien has a sort of perfectly reasonable answer. He's like, is anybody ever like ready to get married? He's always wanted a family. Family means everything to him. He says, I don't think you're ever really ready, but you know when you meet somebody, and against all odds, I met Giannina. And then they ask Giannina, and she says, that's what I've been figuring out this whole time, and it freaks me out because I see that I should be ready, and I want to be ready. I don't want to get a divorce. I don't want to get married, but I have to figure things out, and I'm so sorry. I was like, girl, they just sat down. Like, Jesus Christ, you haven't even served appetizers.
Their canapes still, like, fresh, and they're like... They have like a mini quiche, mid-mouth.
Oh my God.
And then they put their mini quiches down. Even though it's terribly rapid fire and ill-timed, it is the most self-aware I've ever seen her.
Yeah.
She says, "I'm a lot." And I was like, twinsies. And I was like, I don't think she's inherently a bad person.
No, she is
just so fucking immature. You can tell she comes from money. You can tell by the way, like, her mom is dressed. So she probably hasn't, like, wanted for much in her life.
No.
She might be a little on the spoiled side. That is a total speculation on my part. And then she just flings her arms around Damien and she's like, "I'm so sorry." I was like, "I'm sorry those appetizers are getting cold. I'm starving."
Yeah, like, can we do this over, like, after dinner drinks or something? And then she tells us in confessional that because of what they've been through, she knows that Damien will stick by her side through anything. I'm like, girl, you haven't been through anything. Nothing. Zero things.
Nobody has ever forgotten to pay a bill yet. Nobody has ever gotten too drunk at a work party before. Nobody has ever forgotten an anniversary. You have been through nada.
Not a thing. You've been through meeting through a wall. Sure, that's weird. And you've been through 10 days together.
And also that little hissy fit at the party was uncomfortable for everyone.
Yeah, the hissy fit at the party and then the hissy fit in the kitchen the next morning over the avocado toast. And then Giannina's mom is instantly, you can tell, she's like, oh, she's not ready to do this by any stretch. And she says, like, I don't think you're ready. I think you will marry Damien, but you need more time, you know.
And then Oscar puts a period on the end of the sentence and he's like, you're about to be married to a tough woman. Yeah, can someone turn up his microphone? That was kind of an afterthought.
Yeah. Now, here's a question. Is an arepa different than a pupusa?
I don't like to call my vagina by funny names.
I like
to just use what they're called.
Oh. So when you're having sex, you're like, put it in my vagina?
My vagina. Yeah. I don't like to call it a pupusa or whatever. Are you like, oh, that feels so good in my pupusa?
Wow.
I don't know what a pupusa is.
That's racist.
Do you know what Italians call a vagina?
No.
A cucunella.
Why?
Well, the direct translation is little furry slipper. I don't know why, but my grandma would be like, okay, get in the bath. I'll wash your cucunella. Be sure to wipe your cucunella.
Is a penis called like a big hairy foot?
I don't know, but can you stop being racist against Italians for 5 seconds?
If you're going to put something in the little hairy slipper, wouldn't it be a big hairy foot?
You know what, Daisy? I'm not here. You're insulting my culture.
Uh-huh.
I really don't know why.
I'm making a meatball.
Hey, yo, can you be Italian? Sure, I'm making the meatball.
I'm making a meatball.
Have I ever told you about my friend Adam Kaplan, who is Jewish and keeps getting cast in Italian roles?
No.
He was like Pelogero in A Bronx Tale on Broadway, and he just did like a movie with Laurie Metcalf. Yet again, you are appropriating my culture for a paycheck.
I once saw, I think it was like a Neil Simon play. I saw some play on the West End and it was set in the States. And there was a guy who was supposed to be from Brooklyn. And boy, oh boy, those accents were... They give us a hard time for not being able to do English accents. I'm like, look in the mirror, my friend. Your American accents almost across the board are terrible.
Yeah, really bad.
The Australians can do it. The Australians can, like, I didn't even know that Margot Robbie was Australian.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
And same with Scarlett Johansson. She's from South Africa. So she's got that Afrikaans accent.
Wait, Scarlett Johansson? No.
No.
No, you're thinking...
The other pretty one.
The gorgeous one. She was the first African-American to win best...
Nope, she's white. The woman who
But you've heard that, right?
Charlize.
Yeah, but you've heard that people are like, no, she's the first African-American woman to win best actress Oscar.
Halle Berry?
No, because she's technically an African-American because she's from Africa.
Oh, I didn't hear that. That's
okay. Yeah, yeah.
People are embarrassing.
She's, oh, my God. Charlize Theron. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. I would put it in her tiny hairy slipper. I have a box of big hairy feet, if you know what I mean.
No, it's little furry slipper.
Whatever it is, I'll put it in there. God, she's so hot. Not so much Scarlett Johansson.
But Colin Jost, he's the cutest. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
I love Colin Jost, though. Okay, go on.
We finally, like 8 hours into this episode, we see our favorite couple, mm-hmm. Lauren and Cameron. Lauren is preparing her mom. What is it, Peg?
No, Pat. No.
Pat. Yeah. No.
Pam.
Pam. I was close.
Wait, you're skipping over the best part. She introduces her mom and says, my mom is quirky.
Yeah.
Quirky is the word that people use when they don't want to say weird or like complicated or something and they don't want to be mean. It's like quirky is your weird.
Yeah.
You're a tolerable amount of weird. It's like when people come to like your midtown studio apartment and they say it's cozy.
Oh, it's yeah. In my early 20s, I reconnected with a woman who I'd known when I was young and she was certifiable. And we were chatting over like AIM or whatever it was back in the day. I was like, I just don't like in terms of the business, like I just don't know where I fit. And she said, you're quirky. C-O-R-K-Y.
Quirky.
And I was like, uh-huh. And she's like, you know, you're just quirky. Like, and she kept saying it. I was well aware that she was like being a cunt, you know?
Yeah.
You know, you're just weird. You're not pretty. You're just quirky. You're quirky.
You're quirky.
And then she said, your fiance, this was my ex-husband, is, oh no, your husband. Your husband is really cute. Like, he's really cute. Like, don't worry, I'm not going to fuck him, but he's really cute.
Who is this woman and can we call her right now? I will call her and read her for filth. What is her name? I'll look her up on Facebook right now.
That's not even the worst. Ellen, if I told you her name, you would go on her, you would be lost. For hours. This woman is out of her mind.
Well, you're texting me that thread tonight. So Carebud comes in and meets Lauren's mom. And the first thing she says is, are you going to go through with it? Mama Pam, can we start with, like, where did you grow up? Or...
yeah. Hi, nice to meet you.
Are you going
to
go through with it?
And Lauren's like, wow, jumping right in, Mom.
Well, this is the thing. You know that I would give a lot of my organs to Cameron if he needed it. I love Cameron. But Cameron does have the ability to suck the air out of a room. He's like, there is nothing on this planet I want to achieve or do or accomplish more. Then I want to marry Lauren.
Yeah, this was the first time in this rewatching that I had the impression of Cameron as sort of not having a real sense of humor.
Pump the brakes. You don't need to put so much sauce on the chicken marsala, okay?
Yeah, he's very serious all of the time.
Yeah, Cameron is a lot.
He tells her mom that Lauren is the most beautiful woman he's ever seen, which is so sweet. I actually forgot this. Lauren reminds us that not only is Cameron the first white man that she's dated, but he is the first man that she is introducing to her parents. Period. End of statement.
And I love how Mama Pan was like, so like, what was like your first impression from like the first time you saw her when you actually like got a look at her for the first time without knowing her?
You can tell
she's like, have you ever dated a black girl before?
Yeah.
Mama Pam. Okay. Just like your first impression. Like, tell me about it. We're picking up what you're putting down. Okay. We got it.
Well, I realized she was black. I mean, I realized she was beautiful. Yeah, it is the elephant in the room. And then Lauren tells her mom that Cameron had been in a rap group in college. And they're all like, Lauren and her mom are giggling because that is objectively hilarious.
Yes.
But he doesn't find it funny. He's like, yes, I was in a rap group. Yes, I was. We performed several times. And I just wrote, oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, God. This is so embarrassing.
Mama Pam is like, all right, bust some rhymes, Eminem. Let's go.
And he's like, and now I shall.
I'm feeling like a kid with you. You're my main chick. Those other girls are previews. Hop in the back, rolling up, then we're free to cruise. I drop the top down, feeling like we can't lose. I'm living in a dream, and those haters wonder why. Why I'm so high up that I feel like I can fly. So we throw our hands up. No concern for those lames that desert us. They don't deserve us. Blast off. The course is like a crash collision. Cause every choice we make is like a rash decision. But the truth is hard to swallow. We're the leaders, baby, and they just hope to follow.
All right. I have questions.
A few.
Was that planned? Like, was that free flow? Was that rehearsed?
No, I think that was one of the things he did white rapping group in Maine in college.
Okay, got it. So I wasn't sure. Because if it was free flow, he did have some sick rhymes.
Oh, sure. But
rhythm was questionable.
Off. I was shocked that Netflix was able to put that beat behind him at all.
The rhythm, unlike Gloria Estefan, did not get him.
It did not get him. It didn't get anywhere near him. And I was so embarrassed for him. Oh, God, it was embarrassing.
Eminem is a fantastic rapper that when it came down on the trees of white boys who can rap, it missed Cameron.
It did. It did. It missed Cameron, and it just sort of brushed by Vanilla Ice. But Lauren thinks that her mom was impressed with his rapping. So, okay. So then we find out that their parents have the same names, Pam and the guy.
Bill. Did you watch the episode?
No.
Okay. I've experienced that before, so.
I was huffing glue while I was watching this episode. Lauren's mom warns Cameron about Lauren's dad. She's like, just be ready. And Lauren says, he would kill for me. And Cameron's like, he would kill me. He's like, he would be right to kill me if I did anything wrong. I'm like, Cameron, calm down.
They're like, he won't kill. No, he'll kill you. No, he will kill you.
No, he will
like,
kill you.
Like, kill, like.
No,
like,
he will.
Kill.
Like, lock, yeah. Lock your, change your locks, lock
like,
your doors.
Like, kill me, like, funny, like,
windows.
Kill me, like, haha, like, oh my God, that just killed me. Or, like, kill me dead.
No, he's gonna.
Is he gonna?
No.
Is he gonna kill me dead?
Dead. Yeah, he probably won't do it with, he'll, like, put a contract. Do you know that Kurt will not watch The Sopranos because he doesn't want to watch a bunch of actors doing that, like, fake Italian
thing? I think some of them are Italian, though. I don't think
I know.
James Gandolfini stretched very far with his acting job.
I know. And I told him that. I was like, you know, they're all actors. Are doing a character when you watch things, right? And he's like, I don't think Bryan Cranston was putting on a character for Walter
You're
White.
Like, oh, no, yes, he was a meth dealer at one time, for sure.
No, he was definitely a meth dealer. He won't watch Sopranos.
Divorce him. Honestly, what are you doing with your life?
What am I doing? Well, he has a big hairy foot.
I know way too much about your husband's ding-a-ling. It's uncomfortable.
A lot of people do. I talk about it a lot. So now Amber and Barnett are going to meet Barnett's parents, and Barnett is worried that his parents won't like Amber because they are very conservative. And in the car, Barnett tells her, basically, my family doesn't drink. I'm the only one in my family that drinks. We get to their home, and it is a mansion.
Yes. They walk up the back deck to meet the family, and Amber is shaking so much that Papa David tells her to chillax.
Chillax.
Honestly, Papa David, I'm sure you're very nice.
Yeah.
We had a meeting, like we like as like society had a meeting. We decided we're not, that chillax is going by the way of the dodo bird.
Yeah. We're not saying chillax anymore. We're not saying guesstimate, and we're not saying deja vu all over again.
We're not saying simadonna. Remember?
Simadonna.
Remember? Simadonna.
We're not saying get her done. You know, just some things that we are.
They're not saying, what's that thing that that Matthew McConaughey used to say? All right, all
right.
All right. That is the list. Those words are 86'd.
Yeah, we don't say that anymore.
Also, don't tell women to chillax.
No.
Telling someone to relax has the opposite effect of what you do if someone tells me to do that.
It's one thing to be like, oh, we're a nice family. Like, we won't bite, you know, but come on. I mean, you can see nobody in that family chillaxes. So Barnett's brother asks her, like, how she's been handling the stress. And she basically says by drinking, like, she takes a sip of her beer. And this is right after, pretty much, Barnett has said, nobody drinks in my family. So, like, that's not the greatest way to start off.
And they are all side-eyeing each other, looking at each other. And the editors are eating it up. They're like, and get that one, and get that one. And they just make it feel like it is the most tense moment. Amber is laughing and snorting. She is more nervous than like a stripper in church.
They really do her dirty with this editing.
They do.
His brother asks her, what's the worst thing that you've learned about Barnett? And she says, besides the fact that he's okay with farting on me. And they cut to Barnett's face and they make it look like he's like, what the fuck?
It is so uncomfortable. Everyone is uncomfortable. The camera people really said, we're going to catch every awkward glance that this family doles out. And then she kind of immediately launches into the fact that he couldn't decide between her and Jessica. Maybe this is meeting number two or three conversation.
This is like Giannina. It's like not everything has to come out instantly.
I totally agree. And then Mama Deborah is so sweet. She's trying to say something nice about Amber. She's like, she's friendly.
Yeah.
Well. And outspoken. She knows what she wants.
I will say this about Amber in this scene is that, like, at least she's being herself.
Sure.
I feel like if it were me, I would be so nervous that I would have just, like, shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And just sat there quietly. And I'm kind of like, all right, like, at least you're sort of like letting your freak flag fly. But
this family starts rapid fire questions, really putting the pressure. How do you know this is real? How can you tell? How can you differentiate this? They are just bang, bang, bang. And then Barnett says,
So, hold on.
And do you know what the ADHD theater nerd in me thought?
Yes, it's Hamilton.
So this is what it feels like to match wits with someone that you love. What the hell is the question? It's the feeling of freedom. Seeing the light. It's Ben Finger with the key and the kite.
You see it, right?
What a fucking nerd. I am the big... There he went, so. And I started singing because I... I'm a weirdo. I'm quirky.
You are quirky. I am corked like a bad bottle of wine, and you are quirky. Amber says that the way they matched up is unrealistic. And I think she's meaning that as a positive thing.
Yeah, I think so.
But it's just, girl, quiet. So Barnett's brother brings him aside, and they have a heart-to-heart at the little picnic table. Barnett is, you can tell, just very nervous. And Barnett's brother says marriage is about putting your own needs aside and putting your partner's needs first. That is incorrect. Mm-hmm. That is called codependency. And it goes in the same bucket as loving somebody unconditionally. Don't do this. Don't do it. It goes God, country, family.
That is the way it goes. And Barnett has a million reasons about why she's the one. I can be myself. Blah, 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 blah. Brother Danny is just like comparing his life to his brother's, which I was like, this is futile. I get what you're saying, but also back off.
Yeah, it's one thing to be like, hey, man, are you sure you know what you're doing? It's another thing to go in as hard as he's going. And again, it's like you're allowed to be concerned and voice your opinion, but also like mind your own business after a certain point. Now we are 17 days out, and Cameron and Lauren are going to meet Lauren's dad. She is very nervous. She says that her dad is very much about Black families and strong Black families and Black people marrying Black people. And all I wrote was, please God, don't let Cameron rap.
I'm sure Lauren was too. She's like, baby, I love you.
Your rapping is so good.
I love that D.
Mm-hmm.
Can you, for the love of fucking Mariah Carey, please...
Please don't rap. Please. He might ask you to, but if he's trolling you, so don't.
Like, say you have a frog in your throat, say you have laryngitis, whatever you do, if you could do me this solid, I will eat your ass.
I will eat your ass with a fork and a knife.
If you've been asking, and that, if that, it, please don't rap. It will be.
If that's what it takes.
It will be curtains. Okay.
Yeah. Her dad doesn't shake his hand. He doesn't hug him. He does not introduce himself. He just sits down. And he goes,
He gets in the thinker pose. He's like,
yeah. And just starts sizing him up, takes his glasses off, and is just really looking him over.
I would have taken Milton's family. That was like Christmas. That was like Christmas at a Christmas pageant, drunk on eggnog with a fog machine and a DJ, a bar mitzvah DJ.
Compared to this.
One of the really fun ones that does the dances. Compared to this job interview.
This was so terrifying.
Now, this is a very intense way to ask this question because it's not out of line of how everyone else asked a very similar question. But he said, what kind of life do you intend to give my daughter? That is a heavily curated, well-crafted question. Not like, what are your intentions or where do you see yourself? What kind of life do you intend to give to my daughter? You know that like...
If he's not pooping his pants.
But Cameron's the right man for the job. Cameron is the right man to answer this man's questions.
It is intensity meets intensity. They are well matched. That's a really good point. And then her dad says, it's not a gauntlet, but I have to be comfortable with it. He basically says, you're not getting married unless I am comfortable with this.
Now, Mama Pam's statements are making a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. And you can tell, too, that Lauren is kind of, like, annoyed. You know, you can, on her face, you can see that she's like, why do you have to be like this?
Every parent is overprotective of their kids, and you think your kids are so stupid. I mean, I just said this to my mom over Christmas. You know I'm actually a full adult, right? Like, you know I have a child and a mortgage, and I have a job. You know my life is fine. She goes, I know, but like, you're just like still my little girl.
Yeah, my stepmom does that a lot. She'll be like, wow, that's so grown up of you. And I'll be like, I'm 44. Like, what are you talking about?
It's very weird. So Cameron answers his question in the most Cameron way. He is sincere. He loves this woman so much. They're so well matched. He is intensely meeting the intensity in the room. He is matching the intensity. Netflix isn't helping with the goddamn music.
Yeah, and the extreme close-up shots.
Yeah.
But that's where we leave it. We leave it with Papa Bill saying, you know, if I'm not comfortable with this, it's not going
to
happen.
To be continued. What's going to happen? Is he going to allow this to happen?
Who knows? Yeah, except millions of people.
Except we all know. But we're here for the ride. Wait, did you like that episode?
I did. I'm going to share this with our dear listeners that sometimes I'll be like, oh, that episode was boring. And Alan will be like, what are you talking about? It was so great. And then after we record, I'm like, oh, yeah, it was pretty great.
I sit down and I go, oh, my God, this episode was so good. And Daisy's like, okay. I was like, what? It's so good.
Just, we haven't done the fucking wedding dress suit episode yet. I hate those episodes.
I'm going to love it. You're such a wet blanket. I'm going to love it. Thank you so much for listening to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. Please support our other podcasts and our other projects. Daisy was just on our mega swamp talk on I Think Not. Did you see in the description? I listed everyone's podcast and I said, Daisy Egan, Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, that is her only podcast. And then everyone was like, what the hell? I was like, it's a joke. Because it's a podcast she makes with me. She has 27 podcasts just like me.
Meanwhile, like, they'll never go back to the feed because they're like, strangest canceled.
There's no more Dear Daisy.
Speaking of Dear Daisy, that is my other podcast that I do on Grab Bag Collab. Dear Daisy airs every other Friday on Grab Bag Collab, and Strange and Unexplained comes to you every Thursday. And my Strange and Unexplained Patreon is 3 Mondays a month. You can find me on various socials, Daisy Egan, actually really only on Instagram, but I'm working on it. How about you, Ellen?
You can find me on my other podcasts with my other partners that I couldn't possibly love as much as Daisy. JK. Robbie and Ellen Solve the Case drops on Thursdays. We also have a Patreon with tons of bonus content. We do watch parties and we have extra stuff. And then I have on Wednesdays, I Think Not, which is me and Joey Taranto doing true crime TV, and our Patreon episodes drop on Thursdays. We said this on our Mega Swamp Talk, but we just so appreciate when you guys support and share our stuff. I know this part is like the boring part of the episode, but it really does mean a lot to us. We have just felt so supported by you guys, and just keep on sharing, and just, you know, tell someone at the bubbla that you like Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey, you know, bubbla. While you're sitting by the bubbla. When I moved to Boston, that was such a weird thing, and then I just love it, the bubbla. We appreciate it, and I love making this podcast with you, Daisy. So we are going to finish up season one, and y'all, we are jumping into season 6, which premieres February 13th. Mark your calendar. I can't wait. It's going to be fast and furious, and I get to see your face all the time.
I know, it's going to be so good. Love you, Ellen.
Love you. We didn't see Nick Lachey this episode.
Thank
God.
Thank you for that.
But I love you, Daisy.
Love you, Ellen.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.